I'd like to call to order this regular meeting of the Madison Plains Board of Education. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason? Mrs. Zinnikas?
Here.
Mr. Butts?
Here.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Coburn?
Here.
Mr. Iver and I are also here.
Please stand and join us in the pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First portion is public communication. We have one person signed up.
Thank you. Good evening. Ken Morlock, your president of the Music Boosters. My address is 9725 Pringle Benjamin Road. And I just have a few things that I want to say tonight, as always. First, I want to thank the board members that I know bought some raffle tickets that we had for the Ohio State game. We had two pairs of tickets that we were selling. And don't know if everybody knows what we were doing with those, but the profits that we were getting off of the sale of those raffle tickets were going directly to a fund that we were raising for the pay to play for the marching band. So thank you for helping us with that. I'm not exactly sure. I know we didn't sell all the tickets, but we sold quite a bit of them. The treasurer probably already has that check that, that the boosters had, had written on Monday. So all of the people in the band, all the members of the band that had to pay to participate, they're all taken care of, thanks to the boosters. Not sure if we're going to be able to do that for the concert. That's going to bring me into a few other points that I have a little bit later. Next, I wanted to let you know, give you fair warning. We had a discussion, a bunch of the board members for the boosters, that we want to try to get a letter writing campaign going so that you as a board can understand why we think that the pay to participate for the concert band isn't a good idea. So we've got a list of ideas that we want, and we're going to encourage all of the parents of the boosters to write letters, to pick two or three items that are on the list, things that they're passionate about that they want to let you know about. And we want them to be as professional and fact-providing as possible. So hopefully you don't get any letters that call you bad names. I don't think you will. Mine won't. So I just wanted to give you fair warning on that. I don't know when we're going to have that list for everybody, but we're hoping that you're going to be able to rescind that resolution for the pay to participate for the concert band. One of the main reasons for that, for me, is that it's a graded class. Everybody that's sitting there is getting graded for their performances that they have for the school. They're graded on their performances that they do for the teachers. And to have them paid for a class that they're graded on is almost like having the French class pay to be in the French club or the chess club to pay. Well, that doesn't make sense. But anyway, you get the idea. They're paying for a class that, you know, that really doesn't work out too well, I don't think. So anyway, that's about it. Just to recap, thanks for your support that you had for our raffle. We appreciate it, and look forward to those letters. And if you have any questions about anything that are in those letters, you can give me a call or see me at the next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
When are your meetings?
We have them on the second Monday of every month.
Okay.
All right. Now we'll move to Section C, Board Work Session. We have anything in particular other than I did want to note we have Facebook Live. I appreciate Cody and the rest of you guys getting that together this month. I appreciate the moving quickly on that. Does anybody have anything else for the board work session?
Mm-hmm. No.
All right. So we'll move to Section B, approval of board minutes.
Mr. President, I make a motion that the minutes of the August 29, 2018 meetings be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion. I just want to point out that I will be voting now.
Okay.
got permission to fully participate.
Yeah.
Since I did attend the last meeting, I'm not probably in the minutes from the last.
Okay.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Ennis?
Yes.
Mr. Botts?
Yes.
Mr. Cobra?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Next, we'll move to Section E, Student Recognition.
And we have Mr. Miller and Mr. Lollifin here this evening to do a presentation for safety patrol.
All right, good evening. Thank you for giving us the opportunity tonight, Board of Education of Madison Plains. We greatly appreciate your time. The AAA safety, school safety patrol membership is something that is an honored position and it's been going on since 1920. Millions of boys and girls have served in this capacity over that time. Mr. Miller and I wanted to provide a leadership opportunity for our sixth grade students to be role models within our MP Strong K-6 community. Having said that, I got to see this actually in my former district play out firsthand. And it was a great opportunity to partner with AAA here at Madison Plains at zero cost to the district in order to put this together. And the students will have the opportunity to gain the following attributes throughout their time. They're going to learn how to, some things with safety awareness. They're going to learn an opportunity to have leadership skills, teamwork, pride, citizenship, and character building, and peer-to-peer communication are some of the attributes that they're going to be receiving over their stint as they serve with us. And then Mr. Miller is going to call the names.
We have 24 students in all that are part of this program. We have, and they're all sixth graders. We have six per 9 weeks. So this is our first group that we have. We did contact all six of them. Four of them made it here tonight. So we would like to introduce them to you. The far left there, we have Troy Moore.
Hi.
Next to Troy, we have Kylie Elfrink. Next to Kylie, we have Kai Gabler. And last but not least, we have Logan Fleming. And this is our first 9 weeks safety patrol team. So thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Great.
Next, we'll move to Section F, Department Reports.
And our first, our department report tonight will come from the Department of Curriculum and Instruction. And Mrs. Karen Grigsby is here to report on the district report card.
Last year, there was a kind of a rudimentary spreadsheet that kind of gave you a look at 2 years, and here's the third year for your comparisons. And you can see how each grade laid out. The other thing I wanted to point out here on the district report card is not every measure, there are 6 measures on the state report card, not every measure counts the same. So when averaged, it's a weighted average. So achievement and progress each count is 20%, and the other 4 measurements are each worth 15% of the overall grade. The other thing to note is not every letter grade is worth the same amount. If you look there at the list of areas where we earned a B on the report card, you'll see right away that they're not worth the same values. In some areas we did, all of them we did, all of those Bs are on the higher end of a B, but in some areas we earned more points than other areas. So it's just equivalent to like the A minus, B plus, mm-hmm. B minus system, where some grades are higher B than the other B's are. So the other thing I want to point out to you, and it's just really it's a learning experience for everybody. Most people, when they look at the district report card, they assume that that is a glance of just last school year. And it's important to realize that there's actually less than half of that data comes from last school year. Some of it comes from previous years as well. So the achievement is based on last year's spring tests, but the progress measure is an average of 2016, 2017, and 2018. Gap closing is based partially on last year's spring tests, but also on the graduation results of the class of 2017. So not our just most recent class of graduates, but 2 years ago. And the graduation rate is based on a combination of 2017 and 2016. Again, not on these students that just graduated from Madison Plains, or anywhere in the state for that matter. The improving at-risk K-3 readers is a measurement that is tracked from the fall of 2016 to the fall of 2017. So right now, we are already in the process of gathering the data that would appear on next year's report card. And then the prepared for success measure is primarily based on the graduating classes of 2016 and 2017. And there are reports on the graduating classes of 2011 and 2015. So just to make sure everybody's aware how far back some of this information dates as well, and all of that is just a matter of collecting and verifying data through the state systems. For instance, I can't even tell you what our official graduation rate is for the class of 2018 because it's not officially over. There are opportunities for students to continue to be considered having graduated on time through the end of October. In addition to that, the state has to verify which of those students actually count as part of our school district and which count for other school districts as well. And there are students who are out there that we're not aware of that actually count for us that we've never had interaction with necessarily. So just being aware that that whole process of data collection does take quite a bit of time, and it does date back a couple of years. Just to give you kind of to dig deeper into those areas, well, I'll go back to this one. One area that you'll note that we actually increased quite a bit is the gap closing measurement from an F to a B this last school year. And we'll talk in a little bit more detail later about how that happened, why that was. And then here, the prepared for success appears to have letter grade wise dropped from a D to an F. And we're going to talk about that in just a second here also. The elementary report card, 3 of the 6 measurements appear on their report card. What you'll notice is all 3 of those increased, were increases from the year before. Even though that improved at-risk K-3 readers looks like letter grade-wise, it went from a B to a B, it was actually an increase of almost 7% from the year before. The intermediate report card, you'll notice that there's a couple of areas there that we saw an increase. Again, the gap closing, we saw a major increase there,
and then we saw increases within the progress measurement. You'll notice there's a B as an asterisk there for that rating. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about why that is, because the initial rating was actually a 100%, but we were there was a required demotion that affected that. So the junior high report card, again, right there we see two out of the three, just on surface value, increased. Those were areas that increased. And in the high school report card, what's actually interesting is that everything there increased. Prepared for Success is only a high school measurement. And while we've talked about it going from a D to an F, it was actually an increase of 1.5% from the year before. The state changed the grading scale for that measurement.
And they've changed it 3 years in a row.
Right. Okay, so just kind of giving you an idea of the overall grade distribution. The graph on the far corner, far left, my apologies, is the statewide distribution of the overall grades. And you can see how, you know, it's really trying to mimic that bell curve, or it looks much like it mimics that bell curve. Our overall rating was a C this year. On the higher end of a C, but it was the overall rating was a C. The graph on the upper right shows the four Madison County school districts and how that played out in Madison County, with one district getting an overall grade of a B, two getting an overall grade of a C, and one getting an overall grade of a D. Well, sure.
That's all they can see.
If generally speaking, an A is in the dark green, the B is in the lighter green, C is in the yellow, brown is the D range, and red is the F range. So you can see that. And the other group that I'm going to show you comparisons with throughout this presentation is not just the four schools in Madison County, but other surrounding rural districts that touch our school district, as well as other rural districts that we've joined the rural collaborative with. So it's a group of 15 school districts that we're going to look at in that rural setting, which would be those similar to us around us, and then those that are up in Champaign and county, but there's two other counties that were part of the rural collaborative with. So. And in every case, you can see there, it's very similar to a bell curve type shape. And Madison Plains had a C rating in that yellow, overall rating in the yellow. Like I said, there's six components of the report card. I'm going to talk about three of those components all together: achievement, progress, and gap closing. And I'm going to talk to you then about what our strategies are for addressing those things. Then we'll look at improving at-risk K-3 readers and talk about strategies there. And then finally, we'll look at that graduation rate and prepare for success and talk about the strategies there. So achievement measure, how well did our students do on spring state tests? On a one-shot test, how well did they do? That's what the achievement measure measures. And like I told you before, every measure is worth a different percentage. Well, within each measure, different things are worth different percentages. So the performance index is worth 75% of the achievement measure, where gaining indicators is only worth 25%, and we're going to talk about those as well. It is based on the 2018 state test results that also included the state test results are indicators. There is also now this year a chronic absenteeism indicator that is part of the state report card, and then there's the gifted indicator, and we'll talk about each one of those as well. Looking at the achievement measure, performance index being the 75% of that measure, so that big piece of the measurement. And as you can see, it looks like we've stayed steady at that D level across the board. Performance index is based on point values. So it's not about what percentage of your students passed, it's also about how high they scored, okay? So a passing test is worth 1 point, but if you have a student who passed at an accelerated score level, that's worth 1.1 points. and advanced level is worth 1.2. And then they take all of those things into consideration. So limited isn't actually 0 points. That limited is the lowest level you can score. For taking the test, there's 0.3 of a point that is awarded. If you have any non-testers, which we did have some non-testers, some refusals to test this year, that's 0 points, and that can bring down your overall performance index score. And there's also a category that's called Advanced Plus, and that is when you have a student who has been accelerated at grade level or subject area, and they score advanced on the test that they're accelerated in. So for instance, we had about 20 students who were eighth graders who took the Algebra 1 test, which is an acceleration into a high school course. 9 of those students scored advanced on that Algebra 1 test, so their scores were actually worth 1.3 points for each of those because they were scoring advanced in an accelerated course. Right there you can see the 3-year trend data of not just our district, but then comparing the high school, the junior high, the intermediate, and the elementary. The yellow bar represents our performance index scores from 2016. The red bar indicates our performance index from 2017. And then the brown bar indicates our performance index from 2018. And what you can see there is it's gradually going up in a lot of areas, especially junior high, elementary, but of course we want it to go up further. It looks like we flatlined a little bit there with the performance index at the district and the intermediate level, and that's something that we're really going to want to take a look at, and actually we were already planning for anyway, so we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. Just to give you a comparison of where our performance index score compared to everyone else, the red bar there shows what the state of Ohio's performance index score was. The green bar is ours. The brown bars are the other 3 Madison County schools. And then the yellow bars represent all the other area rural districts that are part of this group of 15 that we are looking at comparisons between. So you can see the green line across there showing you where we are performance index-wise compared to all of these others. A few are just a little bit above us, a few are a little bit below us, one a little bit more significantly above us, about 10 percentage points above us, and one's about 5% or 8% points below us. So it's all within a very similar range as you look at all of these districts. The other part of the achievement measure is the indicators, and that's for each individual test that is taken in the spring. They are looking at, did 80% of your students pass that test, okay? So we're looking for that 80% bar to make an indicator. And where you can see the check marks is in 8th grade, English 2, and biology, we met or exceeded that 80% mark. You can also see there's a lot of areas where we're getting close to that 80% mark, and a lot closer than we were 2 years ago, and in some cases closer than we are now. Everywhere you see a green arrow shooting up, that's an indication of that's an area that we scored higher than last year, okay? So you can see that the majority of those state-tested areas, we have a higher percentage passing than we did the year before. I do want to point out to you, though, for instance, 5th grade math and science, those are lower than they were the year before. So is English 1. It is lower than it was the year before. But what you're going to find when we get to the progress measure is, even though less students passed those tests this year than they did before, those students made significantly more growth in the progress measure in those areas. So it's something that we need to actually celebrate that, yeah, we didn't get close to that 80% in those areas, but compared across the state, our students in those areas made significantly more progress than what was expected, where their percentage, where they were expected to perform. So that's an important piece to look at as well. There are 2 other indicators, as I mentioned before. One is the chronic absenteeism indicator. A district will meet that indicator if less than 13.6% of their students are chronically absent. Chronically absent is, the rule of thumb there that they give us is about 2 days per month for 9 months equals a chronically absent student, okay? So when we are talking about students who are absent 18 days of the year or equivalent in hours, partial days that add up that way, they are considered chronically absent from school. And so this is a new measurement on the report card, looking at school districts and what they're doing to bring down the level of chronic absenteeism. Our district is in the green bar there, and you can see significantly below the 13.6%. Some of the districts that we're looking at there, and even the state chronic absenteeism rate is significantly above what it took to meet the indicator. But the other piece, like we mentioned with the Prepared for Success measurement, is that 13.6% is not going to be 13.6% next year. Next year, to make that indicator, it's going to be 12.6. And up there in the right-hand column there, you can see what they're trying to do is keep lowering that amount until we get to the 2025-2026 school year, 2025-2026 school year at 5%. So we are significantly below the goal right now, but we are above the 5% that will be the ultimate goal there in 2026. The other indicator is the gifted indicator. In order to meet the gifted indicator, you actually have to meet three other areas. One is that you've made acceptable progress with your gifted students, which we did. The other is that you have to earn 117 out of 120 points on the performance index. We earned 114.5. So we are 2.5 points below that, and that's not an area that we need to make up some ground in this school year, obviously. And then the other piece that you have to do is you have to earn 80 points based on services and inputs. So you get so many points for how many students you serve in specific areas and how many students you identify in certain areas. That's the area that we're struggling with the most right now. We're at 67 out of the 80 points. And you can see our bar there on that measurement compared to these other districts. I don't have state data on it to compare it to the state, but you can see there within that group of 15 districts, we're pretty significantly high in the points that we are scoring for gifted services and identification. But we have more work to do there, obviously. Although 3 years ago, we would have had zero, you know, or close less than 10 points probably. So we are making substantial progress there, but we still have some more work to do. So considering that you have to have all three of those things to make the gifted indicator, of that group of 15 that you see up there, only one district made the gifted indicator. So that's something for us to keep in mind, that we are doing better than a lot of districts are in that area, but we still have ground to make up. As far as the progress measure is concerned, that's the value-added piece, where are your students making expected growth? The thing to remember about this is it is not just based on last school year. It is an average of the 2016, 2017, and 2018 school years. So it just kind of, you know, if you have a bad year there somewhere in the mix of those threes, it can really drop you down in comparison. Two years ago, it was based just on 1 year. Last year, it was based on last year, but now that there are 3 years, it's going to be the average of the 3 years. So, and again, this is an area where not everything counts the same within the progress measure. 55% of the progress measure comes from the overall population, and 15% each. Sorry, you can fix that, Kane. 15% each on all the others. okay, so just to give a look at where we are, a B is our score again this year. And if you remember me talking throughout last spring, a C is what is considered expected growth. So we are still showing evidence of making more than expected growth each year. When we look at that in comparison to the other county school districts, you'll see that two in the light green there had a B rating there, one had a D rating, and one had an F rating. And then when we look at it in comparison to the whole rural collaborative piece, you see a pretty similar phenomenon. Yes.
When you did those presentations at the community meetings, you were showing kind of us compared to everybody, and you have those...
The scatter plots?
Right.
Yeah, those won't be out until November or so, but we can certainly look at them then.
Do you anticipate that there'll be an
improvement? I anticipate that, it will depend, because all the information I have right now are averages, and I don't have by individual year. When the scatter plots come out, I'll be able to have by individual. Okay, areas that achieved higher. These are areas I really feel like I wanted to point out because not just did they received in that highest dark green category. All of our science is performing significantly, showing significantly more growth than other schools in the state. All subjects in fifth grade, like I pointed out to you earlier, even though those percentages didn't go up, they're showing significantly more progress in the growth measure. Seventh grade math is another area for us to celebrate. Our junior high overall population was another area for us to celebrate. High school English 1, both high school and junior high students with disabilities, and both high school and junior high students in the lowest 20% of achievement. So we are really seeing some areas that we are making some significant growth with students, and those really need to celebrate those as well. And the teachers who are putting that time and effort into making that growth with students. Gap closing is the third measurement to talk about, and this is, are we closing the achievement gap with our most vulnerable students? Math, reading, and graduation rate are the only things figured into gap closing. And it includes information on all students, students with disabilities, students in the lowest 20% of the state in achievement, students who are white, and students who are multiracial. And this is the first year that we have had enough students to qualify for scores in the multiracial group. In other school districts where the population is far more diverse, you see a whole lot of other subgroups that are being scored there. In our situation, these are the only subgroups that are being scored. And this is that measurement where everybody counts once in the all student population, but if you are a student with a disability, your score counts twice in that measurement. If you're a student with a disability and you score in the lowest 20%, it counts three times and so on. So just being aware, that's what this measurement is. And it is, there is a different bar to reach in every grade level and every test, okay? So I couldn't just sit here and tell you, we gotta get to 50%. It's different for everyone. And that goal moves every year. This is the measurement where the score changes every year. And the other piece to this is they used to score this on percentages, and this year they went and started scoring it on performance index. So when we do a comparison between last year and this year, there is no comparison to be made because it is a different type of score this year. If you have any group that scores less than 60 points in the performance index, it requires an overall drop in the letter grade, no matter how high you score. So this is what we look like right now with gap closing. I was able to use just all the areas that we met that they were able to give us an overall percentage, but I don't have those percentages per subgroup anymore because those are based on performance index scores. But what you can see is every area there we have increased, and in some buildings, we've increased quite significantly. As I mentioned before, the intermediate group, they scored a 100%, just similarly to the junior high and elementary. but they had one group that even though they met the gap closing goal, the gap closing goal was 59.8, but since, and we were at 59.3, since that was less than 60, it brought the whole intermediates grade down. It's supposed to be a 10% drop, but when you have 100%, they drop it 10.1% so that you have a B instead of an A. So that's why you see the asterisk there. But what that basically amounts to is we were short 5/10 of a performance index point, and so the intermediate building lost letter grade. When we break that down into all the different subgroups at all the different levels, you'll see that most of those subgroups met the gap closing goal, except in math, with both our white population and our multiracial population. When we dig into that data a little further and we dig into it down to the building level, what we find is that that math situation is only occurring at the high school. At the other three buildings, they met in math, all those populations met. And so that is a good indicator to us that there's some work to be done in high school math. And that's something actually we've already started to address. We chose a new curriculum last year that we're starting this school year that we're hoping will better address the needs of some of these, some of our students from these populations. And then again, the one building required demotion was actually not from math, it was students with disabilities in ELA. And like I said, it was 5/10 of a point low, and so the whole overall grade dropped a letter grade. So that's gap closing. So with all of that being said, as we look through all of the data on those three measurements, we do know that there are some areas that we need to focus on. For instance, fourth grade ELA and math, percentage of passing students is increasing, but we're still not meeting the growth measure that we want to be meeting. Eighth grade math is another area where we're still not meeting the growth measure. Gifted students in the junior high, specifically in ELA, we're not meeting the growth measure. And eighth grade ELA students in the lowest 20% of achievement. So those are areas that we know we need to focus on when it comes to growth. And then there are a few areas that we weren't meeting the growth area and our achievement percentage decreased. And those are listed there for you. So those are all areas we know we need to focus on. I put off to the side a little sidebar there of areas that were just so close to meeting the indicator. And it's not that anything's going wrong in those four areas. It's that with a little more push and a little more attention, we can pick up some indicators if we focused on those four areas there. So those are things that we know as administrators and we know as the teaching staff that those are areas that we're going to be a major focus for us. So what are we going to do? Well, we have a number of strategies already in place to address these. A big focus will be moving all students up a performance level. So students who scored basic on their state test last year to score proficient this year. If they scored proficient last year, to score accelerated. And just moving them up because that gains, that's better for students. That, and it also helps us to gain some extra points on our report card as well. And a focus with our gifted population of making sure all of those students are scoring at that highest level, that advanced level. They're not all scoring in the advanced range. And so we really want to focus there as well. And that's something we'll be closely monitoring through our building leadership, through tracking mastery, through Mastery Connect, which is a tool that we are really utilizing very well here in our third year. Looking at mastery of standards, so that's an important tool that we're using to as a strategy to meet these expectations. And then it also in these areas that we mentioned before, we're going to need to evaluate the curriculum in those areas to see if there were gaps within the curriculum or if the gaps are occurring in the instruction.
Did you, on that previous slide, where did you say high school math was a focus?
Yeah.
Is it on there? Did I miss it?
Well, it's high school geometry. I'm sorry. When we dig even further, it's specific to high school geometry.
It's not. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't mention that. And back here, high school math, when I peel off the layers a little bit more, it's specific to geometry. Yeah. And I will say a side note on that. Algebra 1 is a hard area. It looks always looks very low, but the one thing you have to keep in mind is that, and 8th grade math. 8th grade math and Algebra 1 are hard areas to look at because that's where students start to split off and go in different pathways with math. So those are ones you really have to dig into the information to know. Is that really a problem, or is it that we have less students that we're working with for those two tests? So, of course, staff improvement plans is necessary, and evaluating, and it's part of our improvement plan to evaluate programs specific to students with disabilities. I will say all of that is part of our Madison Plains improvement plan, and Tula's had a big hand in the development of that plan as well. So the Madison Plains Improvement Plan is a three-year plan, okay? We actually just redeveloped that plan last winter and spring. So we're already working on these strategies for the things that we're noting on the report card. And many of these things, because you know, of course, that data is a couple of years old in some cases, we've seen that coming. And so we knew that those were gonna be areas that we had to address. That plan is developed through the Academic Advisory Council, which you have board representation on. That is also comprised of all the administrators in the district and all the department chairs from K through 12, and sometimes community members. We've had a variety of different community members on that committee over the years, but they usually only want to hang around for a few months at a time. So we always improvement plan outlines all of our strategies, our action steps, our main goals under these three goals: to increase student academic growth and achievement, to provide college and career readiness programming, and to provide a system of positive behavioral interventions and supports. And the improvement plan includes performance measures and progress monitoring. If you will click the website link there, I will show you how you can access the improvement plan at any time to see that information. So on the front page there, if you'll scroll down a little bit to our touts, you see improvement process there in one of the touts. If you click there, that page describes the whole improvement process and the teams that we use. But on the right, there is the MPIP three-year plan, goals, strategies, action steps, and progress monitoring. So if you click that link, you can see a live document of where we are with our improvement plan. You'll notice I've already highlighted the 15% for there. That is relative to gap closing, and because it's no longer based on percentages, it's based on performance index points, we have to change the way that's worded and figure out how to monitor that. But if you just keep scrolling down, what you see there is each goal is outlined. There are performance measures attached to every goal, and then there are strategies and action steps attached to each goal. So if you go on down to the next page, you'll see the strategies and what action steps align to each one of those goals, how they're aligned to the goals, and what part of the improvement process that relates to. So all of that is there for your information at any point in time. To access as to what are the strategies and action steps we are implementing to make sure that things are in place. Many of these are tracked on separate spreadsheets that I keep to see where we are throughout the year as well. And I share at an Academic Advisory Council how we're doing towards meeting those goals. And if you go down to the last two pages there, Todd, right there, that's our overall progress monitoring. It's on the website. You can see it at any point. And it's showing you here, this was our baseline data there, and here's where we are now. And there's our goals for 2020 as to where we want to be at the end. The yellow highlights on the right are ones that we have to update because of that change in like how gap closing was measured. So we will be doing that at our October meeting. But just so you know, you can access, anyone from public can access that information at any time so that you can see the strategies, performance indicators and such that we are attempting to meet. Okay. If we go back to the presentation, go ahead, next one. And so all those first, all of the first three areas of the report card that I've discussed are all attached there to goal one of the improvement plan. And I won't read all of that to you. You can go back at any time and look at that. But what you can see at a glance there is what are the growth targets that we're measuring? What are the achievement targets that we're measuring? What subgroups are our targets? What performance measures, assessments are we using to monitor that data? And again, this is something that we developed last winter and spring, knowing where the data was going and having those having a plan already in place. The next measurement to speak to is the improving at-risk K-3 readers. It used to just be called K-3 literacy, and that was really deceiving because it made it look like schools were only getting 50 or 60% of their kids able to read. What this measurement actually measures is of your students who were not on level in fall of 2016, what percentage of them did you move up to level? And in this graph, what you'll see there is, even though we were a B last year and we're still a B, I mentioned earlier, we did increase by 6.9%. And when you compare us to the other schools in Madison County and in that rural collaborative group of districts, we are significantly raising achievement with our at-risk K-3 readers as well. And so that's an area definitely of celebration in our for our elementary school. This graph kind of show what it shows you is how they start off each year. So what you'll notice there is that bar is really long for the kindergarten diagnostic. That's where we identify which students are in need of a reading improvement and monitoring plan, and that's year by year, so fall 2015, fall 2016, fall 2017. And year by year, the same trend happens. We do a fantastic job in kindergarten, getting all these kids who come to us not ready to read, ready for first grade. And so at the beginning of first grade, we have very few students who need reading improvement and monitoring plans. But it tends to grow a little bit each year after that in second and third grade. It specifically tends to grow with students with disabilities, which makes sense because that's often where their disabilities are. But it is definitely an area that we need to look further into. And as part of our improvement plan, we are evaluating our special education programs to see, is there up what else can we be doing to helping those students who may have disabilities? Some, not all of those students are students with disabilities, but for the large majority of that growing population, that does happen. So we'll definitely be looking at that a little closer as well. Going into the final pieces is graduation and prepared for success. And as I told you before, the graduation rate is based on the graduating class of 2017 and the graduating class of 2016. So not our most recent graduates. This is our three-year trend with that data. So you can see in 2016, that was based on the classes of 2014 and 2015. We're at a B, and I bring this up as an area of concern for us because this is more than 3 years worth of data. This graph will show you back until 2010. You'll see that our graduation rate was steadily climbing each year. And in about 2015, that rate dropped significantly, and it only came up a little bit for the class of 2017. I want to point out, though, that that has nothing to do with the new graduation point requirements, because it's the class of 2018 that is the first class to fall under graduation points. All of that was happening under OGT years. I bring that up now because that is going to be an issue that we have to, we didn't plan for, that we do have to address in Academic Advisory Council, is what occurred in those years that caused such a drop in our graduation rates. Are there programs that we implemented that maybe aren't working as well as we had hoped? We do know some of that comes from things that are happening with open enrollment. Students who may be open enrolled to other school districts and then are coming back to us their senior year very far behind. And so we did see some significant drops in 2016 and 2017 because of that. But that's not the only reason that we see that drop. And so that's really going to be an area that we need to we need to figure out what is happening with our, why are we graduating fewer students than we were before. And I have some theories, but I have nothing that I am ready to discuss. It needs to be vetted out. The other measurement is the prepared for success. How prepared are students for work or college? Now, in this measurement, you will see that the areas that are being measured is, did they get an ACT remediation free score? Did they get an honors diploma? Did they participate in advanced placement programs? And how high were their advanced placement scores? Were they participating in dual enrollment, which is College Credit Plus? And did they get, or did they get an industry recognized credential? One of the first things to point out there is most of that doesn't have to do with work. It has to do with college, right? And so and that is an issue that is being addressed in the legislature right now, is there isn't an equivalent piece there to those students who want to go right into the workforce. And nowhere are they, are schools getting credit for students who go straight into the military, things like that. So we, that is something that's being worked on legislatively, that this is really skewed towards your highest level students. The other pieces that are reported here are what percentage of the class of 2015 entered college within 2 years of graduation, and what percentage of the class of 2011 graduated from college within at least 6 years of graduating high school. So again, very college-based scores. When we look at how we did, and I already mentioned our percentage increased even though the letter grade dropped, when we look at the statewide distribution for prepared for success, more than 50% of the schools in the state of Ohio earned an F, that's in the red. 34.1% earned a D. And then there's a small portion that earned A's, B's, or C's. But when we compare that to rural school districts, there are no A's, B's, or C's in that group. So there's definitely, or at least in my opinion, not, it goes back to how much this measurement is based on your highest level students and not necessarily your students who are ready to go to work right after high school or who are ready to go in the military after high school. And so that's something that, of course, we have a whole plan for addressing that prepared for success measure, but the state isn't measuring all of that. Okay? And you can see here our 3-year trend data with those areas they are measuring. One thing that you notice right away is that we significantly drop the percentage of students who are participating in AP, and we significantly increased the percentage of students who were participating in College Credit Plus. So that's something that we'll be looking at. As the Academic Advisory Council, however, last year, we had a lot of debate over this and decided that we wanted to get back to offering more AP courses. And so that is part of our goal and our strategies in the Provide College and Career Readiness programming. Most of this goal still is only based on what the state is measuring. So we are still having conversations about what else can we be measuring, can we be looking at to show what our students are doing after. after high school that it has prepared them for the future, other than just being just going to college. Not that there's anything. There's a whole big world out there for lots of people. So that's all in the improvement plan that I mentioned to you before as well. And then the last thing I will point out to you is our quality profile report. The state of Ohio 2 years ago encouraged districts to put out quality profile reports. If you find our report card on the state website, there is actually a link that on every school's state report card to direct you into their quality profile report. And that's where the state has encouraged schools to tell about themselves the information that's not in the report card. So in our touts there, you will see last week was our first time we did issue a quality profile report. And if you click there, you can see that report in its entirety. It's about a 10-page report, giving you an idea of who we are at Madison Plains, what we're doing for our students, what Madison Plains looks like if having an education here. And as you scroll down, I'll just briefly mention a few of the pieces that are part of this. But the advanced ed review that had happened last spring that Ann Berger and Christina Finney presented on, that is part of this quality profile report. And the information from there. Talking about all of the outside of the classroom opportunities that we give our students as part of our quality profile report. Our commitment to continuous improvement, our commitment to the improvement process, and where some of those highlights are from our last 2 year report cards from that improvement process. And then also education and the arts, as more and more schools are having less funding to be able to support arts, we still have good opportunities for our kids here, and so we're highlighting that as well. And so as you go through it, you'll see that there are service leadership is the next page, areas that will never be measured on a report card, that our community and those outside our community who are attracted to Madison Plains should know about. And all of the different opportunities and programs that we offer at both sides of campuses. Some of you will even recognize yourself in here, as well as our efforts towards fiscal responsibility and gaining community support. So the quality profile report is linked from our report card, but it is there to give you and the specialized programs that we do, give others an idea of what Madison Plains is all about outside the report card results as well. Nice. And you can go, and from the quality profile report, you can go straight to the report card from there as well. And there's an article there on understanding Ohio's report cards. That's what I have for you this evening. If you have any questions for me, I'm happy to take those. So, but I did give each of you a paper copy.
Karen, kind of understanding, we have our financial limitations that you're aware of. If there's areas that the board can help, please let us know and engage with us. Like I said, we understand the financial limitations, but.
Well, and certainly that, I guess part of the reason I brought up the graduation was because one of the programs that we do for credit recovery and to help our students be able to graduate, we chose that program basically because as opposed to other program opportunities. So that will definitely be an area that we need to evaluate and see if we have the financial capabilities to do something different.
I appreciated the plan, because I think, like achievement, we'd like to see that.
Right.
Go, you know, it's kind of been steady there, and we're making some progress, but just, so I'm glad to see that you have a plan in place, implementing the building leadership and the education coaches or the, said it wrong, but we got the process was helpful to understand a lot of the pieces that are going into it. But it sounds like we're relatively close to the B rating. Does that sound right?
Yeah, actually, so, I mean we're just a little bit closer every year. We get a little closer to where we want to be, but it's kind of slow and steady.
We appreciate your hard work.
Thank you.
Now we'll move to Section G, Board Committee Reports.
Starting off with the Finance Committee, I'll give you a quick report. We met last Wednesday for a productive meeting. Bulk of the conversation was regarding the fiscal year 2019 appropriations, which you have in front of you tonight for approval. Todd provided us with an update on the food service possible shortfall that we discussed in our August meeting with attrition and employee moves within that department. We're predicting right now that we're going to be able to avoid the $13,000 possible deficit due to different health care coverage that was elected by the new employees. Todd shared with us that upon reviewing the ODE report card financial data, he noticed a discrepancy in the financial portion of where the school wasn't getting full credit for the classroom instruction expense. Todd reported that we'll see a 0.8 increase.
That was a discrepancy we noted last year in our accounting practices, and so we made that change in how we account for our HRA fund transfers and accounting for that expense, and it realized a 0.8% increase in credit for classroom spending. And initially that didn't seem like that much, but when you take that on our total spending, it's about $118,000, which is correct, is what we hypothesized should increase based on that accounting change. So we realized that change that we predicted and worked for last year. So.
Correct. Chad presented to us an update from his county superintendent's meeting probably been months ago. We'll have some further discussion and information coming out of that back to the board to relay. We also discussed the fiscal year 2019 PI plan. If you guys remember in our special meeting that we had a couple months ago, Ms. Reisler presented the PI plan for this year. 99.9%, I think, is spoken for of all the funds and allocated to different projects around the district, including curriculum expense there as well. Tom has put together a template spreadsheet to project for what the next 4 years, I think, to follow.
It's a five-year cycle for our PI plan, a way to allow us to put not just, say, buses on a cycle, but all of our predictable expenses out of PI on a cycle.
I think it's going to be go a long way coming out of that special meeting that we had talking about planning, for, major capital expenses and buses, technology, curriculum, and so forth. And so if you guys get an opportunity, I don't know if Todd can send that out to everyone so you guys can see that, but I think it'll help guide us for the future. In closing of the meeting, I think with prudent spending and planning on Mr. Mustaine and Mr. Eisler's part, it appears right now with some possible county advances, auditor advances, that we might be able to avoid having to do any short-term lending that we established at the last meeting that Mr. Butts is not in favor of. And so we'll see in our future forecast projections the bat wing that is not going to be as bad as what we initially discussed in August. And so I think that is attributed to a lot of careful spending on our administration's part and planning those purchases appropriately. So hopefully we're able to get through that we'll see that later in Todd's financial report as well.
Well, and I always like to say when we mention, and I foot stomp this hopefully every meeting here for a little while, when we mention the deficit potential and the batwing and that stuff, it has nothing to do with the levy we just passed. We knew the whole time
Correct.
That there would be a period where we would be in trouble before that money kicks in.
So I just think it's important that we point that out because I don't want people to miss that's just the timing issue. We knew the whole time that we wouldn't have the money, and things will work itself out. So I think it's just important to point that out.
It's been a known fact, and I think we've showed that in any financial projection that's been circulated to the public, and so it's not a new surprise to us. But hopefully that number is decreasing, which it appears to be. So that's it for Finance Committee.
I am happy to report on the Communication Committee. We met on Tuesday, September 4th at 5 o'clock. We discussed the beginnings of putting together a comprehensive communications plan. We itemized various platforms of communication that are available to the district. We also listed out our various audiences. There were more than, frankly, what I realized. I knew we had quite a few, but there were more than what I thought. So we do have some materials that we are looking over to help guide us in the creation of this communication plan. And so we will be talking about those materials and some other things at our next meeting, which is on Monday, September 24th at 5 p.m. And that will be here in the district meeting room. And then I can also report out to you on the Academic Advisory Committee, also known as the District Leadership Team. That group met on Monday, September 10th at 3:15 p.m. And as Mrs. Grigsby did indicate, we discussed the preliminary report card data and the progress that the district is making. We also talked about the quality profile report that has been put together. That team meets again on Monday, October 8th at 3:15, and that meeting will also occur here in the district meeting room. Finally, the last group that I need to report on this evening is the Facilities and Grounds Committee. They met yesterday at 5:30 p.m. in my office, and we have, this was the first meeting that this group has had this year, and we have begun discussing all of the various buildings and some of the challenges, I guess, that we'll say that the buildings face from a facility standpoint. The HVAC system is one of the main topics of conversation was one of the main topics of conversation in that meeting. So we have a little bit of work that we need to do there. So our next meeting for that group is on Monday, October 15th, and that will be at 5 o'clock here in the district meeting room as well.
Thank you. Now we'll move to section H, Treasurer Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. Starting off with my treasurer's report, I have our financial statements that the board will be examining and approving. Again, speaking to the bat wing, I'm not going to zoom in on a lot of these numbers. I know they're hard to see, but hopefully you've had a chance to review these reports as well. But you do see highlighted there, December and January are points of concern. Those are our low points. And I just, on this sheet, point out that after the approval of the permanent appropriations tonight, the FY19 budget amount in column B there will be updated. And then next month, we'll be presenting the October 5-year forecast. And that's when column C will be updated then after that approval at the November meeting. So that's how the spending plan will be updated moving forward. As we go down through here, I just want to highlight a couple things, not so much with our revenue, but with our expenditures. The last couple years, we had a 2% increase in 2017 and a 1% increase in 2018. And we are currently 3% below expenditures at this point in time of year as we were at the same point in time of the year last year. So we are tightening our belts even further, and it's reflected in the data. And then our cash flow, I will point out that we came in very high. If you remember, we received a property tax settlement in July that we had originally thought we'd receive in June. But you see that after August, our actual data shows us back down onto our projected trend line. So we are trending right now as we thought we would. But again, the points of concern are where the black line drops below the red line, which is zero. So that's dropping below zero for a general fund balance. So again, that's not our cash position. That's our general fund balance. And we do project to end the year with a positive general fund balance this year. So we just have to do a good job of timing our expenditures leading up to those low points. That is my financial report presentation. Before I move on to the permanent appropriations, does anybody have any questions?
Okay.
The next item I have for you are the permanent appropriations, and I would like to highlight a couple of changes from what we had on our temporary appropriations, our initial appropriations. The process is the FY19 original budgets that were put forth were planned for back in the five-year forecast in March that we filed in May, the May five-year forecast. So that's where we thought we were going to be. We didn't have a full year's worth of actual data for FY18. Once we got that full year's worth of data in for FY18, we then took our projections and assumptions and applied that to the actual data, not the estimated data. When we did that, we were able to adjust our projections either higher or lower accordingly. So for instance, the general fund, overall, we show a 0.5% decrease from our FY18 actual expenditures is what we're approving tonight, is what's before you to approve tonight. So not only have we had a 2% increase in 2017 and only a 1% increase in 2018, in 2019, should we stick to the plan here, we'll actually show a decrease in our expenditures. So which is excellent from a financial prudence point of view. Then from the change though from our initial appropriations was a decrease of $89,749. This is the $14,000,688 right here. That is actually a decrease from what we originally had in the temporary appropriations, which was $14,777,898. So that's a decrease of $89,000. Now in some instances, the estimate in certain areas went up. For instance, salaries we were a little low on, so those went up. But other as well as like purchase services, we had additional speech services that we had to plan for this year. But other areas we brought down. Supplies, for instance. We came in a lot lower last year than where we had planned on being, so we applied our estimates to those actual figures and set that as the new bar. So we were able to bring those budgets down. And overall, it brought the overall general fund budget down $89,000. So next, again, with the food service, we were able to bring down that $4,000. That's the net effect. We had to account for, and this is since the financial committee meeting, along with the change in benefits, we have employees that elected family plans as opposed to not electing coverage at all, which allowed us to save somewhat. But we were paying for the outgoing food service director as well as the incoming food service director. And so those expenditures weren't initially accounted for. But we do have them accounted for now. And the $4,000 savings that we have projected here in the expenditures, along with a closer examination of the revenues and increasing the revenues, will allow us to for that fund to end with a positive balance this year as well. So we should be okay there. Next, you will see an increase there to the 300s account. That's our athletics. That's not a true increase. If you remember, at the end of every year, we typically do a transfer from the high school athletic account to the junior high athletic account, because junior high typically runs in the red. We didn't do that last year based on where the account finished out overall. So we increased the transfer out, which shows up as an expense. We also increased the transfer in, which shows up as a revenue. So it in a net effect, there's no change there to the athletics. But I wanted to point that out in case our athletic director saw that and thought I was changing his estimates, which I did not. Also, you have our FY19 grant allocations now included. We didn't have those initially. Those are there now. Also, I want to point out that there is a new fund that will be approved tonight, along with your approving of these permanent appropriations. That's Fund 587. That's an IDEA preschool fund. It's a small amount of funds. It's around $1,500. But that's something that we can spend. I think it's being spent through purchase service and supplies for those preschool children that we serve, or preschool age children that we serve. And then finally, the permanent improvement fund, we actually lowered that initial estimate to $398,000 from $407,000. We had some estimates in there for professional services that we realized we're not going to use this year. We don't have any large planning for engineering services, architectural services, anything like that, and we were able to bring that down, which we did. So those are the highlighted changes in the permanent appropriations. Again, overall, we're showing a decrease from our temporary appropriations. And then in the general fund, actually, we show a decrease from what we actually spent last year, which is great. So 0.5%. So with that, does anybody have any questions on the permanent appropriation? The deadline to file the permanent appropriations is October 1st, so after the approval, I'll be filing those with the county auditor. And then next month, I'll be incorporating those into the five-year forecast projections, and that will be presented in October, because the deadline for the five-year forecast is November 1st. So that's the timeline.
Any
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial items H4 and H5.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
So we'll move to Section I, the Superintendent's Report.
Just a few items for discussion tonight before we get down into policy and governance. On Wednesday of this past week, myself and three other individuals from the district, Assistant Principal Max Lolithan, Assistant Principal Ann Berger, and School Psychologist Sarah Hyatt, attended the Safety Summit that was held in downtown Columbus at the Convention Center. The day was worthwhile, a lot of good information there, and the four of us are going to be getting together and discussing what we heard and talk about how we can move forward with that information. So very pleased with that. I have also been invited to participate in a roundtable discussion with Congressman Stivers tomorrow afternoon on school safety, so I'll be participating in that with him. And I know that there are other school leaders who will be there as well, so that'll be tomorrow afternoon, so very pleased to be a part of that and get to meet Congressman Stivers as well. We have had our annual tap water test that is required of school districts in the state of Ohio. We have passed that, so that is good news for the district. And as required, a notification was put up on the district website about that. And then finally, as you all are aware, there has been work ongoing with the wastewater treatment facility. Several weeks ago, the UV system was put in place, and we have been waiting now for delivery of the cement basin that goes around that UV system. That has been delivered. Work was being done on that today. As we got ready to start the meeting here, I'm not sure if that work was completely finished today or not, but then I know they're out there working all day on that, and I will keep you updated. But I do believe the work on that, on the wastewater treatment facility, is very nearly concluded. So that is good news. The next section of our meeting then is policy and governance. There are a number of items here before you this evening. The first of which is the official list of bus stops. That is something that we are required to approve each year, and so that item is before you here this evening. There is also an item to approve an extended field trip for the FFA to the National Convention, which will be held in Indianapolis, Indiana from October 25th to October 27th. There is also a recommendation to approve an extended field trip for the FFA to the Green Hand Camp. That will be held at Camp Muskingum on the dates of September 30th through October 2nd. And then there is a recommendation in front of you as well. School districts in the state of Ohio that do not provide career technical education to their students in grades 7 and 8 are required to pass a resolution stating that we do not intend to provide that. And so there are many school districts that do not, and so we are one of those districts that don't. Obviously, our students at the high school do get career technical education, or it is available to them through Tolles Technical and Career Center. But there was a resolution there before you that we are asked to approve. Once you give me, approval is given tonight, I will submit that to ODE through the SAFE account. That has to be done by September 30th. So I'll work to do that tomorrow if you all approve that this evening. And that, I believe, the motion that is there at the bottom of the page for policy and governance, There are a couple typos there. It should say, upon the recommendation of the superintendent, the treasurer. And it says, approve financial items J2 through J5. That should be policy and governance items, J2 through J5.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve policy and governance J2 through J5.
Second. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Buzz?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
I will move to Section K, personnel.
Mr. President, I make a motion on the recommendation of the superintendent the board approve items approve personnel items K2 through K4 with K5 stricken.
Second.
Discussion?
There are a number of items there in front of you. Some of those are resignations for supplemental positions, and then there are also the awarding of supplemental contracts. So all of those items are there in front of you, and then there are two employment recommendations before you. One is for the assistant district head cook, and one is for a classroom aide at the junior high and high school.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinkas?
Yes.
Mr. Buzz?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
Now we'll move to Section L, new business.
There is a item in front of you for the removal of technology items from inventory. This is something that had been discussed last month. We told you that we would be bringing this forward, so that list was provided to you, so you have been able to take a look at that. It is simply old technology items that need to be discarded. So,
discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. President, I'd like to make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board approve the removal of the inventory of technology items listed in the agenda attachment, classified as old technology, see attached items.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Buzz?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
I move to Section M, donations.
Mr. President, I'd like to make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donations: $675 from Downtown Photography to the High School Athletics, $250 from the class of 1966, the High School FFA.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Foley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Buzz?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
I don't believe we have executive session tonight. Is that correct? All right. So the next regularly scheduled meeting will be October 16th here in the district meeting room at 7 p.m.
Mr. President, I'd like to make a motion that the board adjourn the meeting at 8:22 p.m.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Buzz?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Carries 5-0. Adjourn.